Jana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय श्रील व्यास ऋषि की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू द मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास ऑन संडे In your association, we are reading from Canto 11, chapter number 28, titled Jnana Yoga, and text number 17 for discussion today. Kindly repeat after me. Amulametad bahurupa rupitam Mano vachah prana sharira karma Jnanasinopasana nayashitena Chitva munirgam vicharatya trishna Amulametad bahurupa rupitam Mano vachah prana sharira karma Jnanasinopasanayashitena Chitva munirgam vicharatya trishnah Amulametad bahurupa rupitam Mano vachah prana sharira karma Jnanasinopasanayashitena Chitva munirgam vicharatya trishnah
Thank you.
We'll read word-to-word translation. Word-to-word translation, translation and purports by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Amulam, without foundation. Etat, this false ego. Bahurupa, in many forms. Rupitam, ascertained. Manaha, of the mind. Vachaha, speech. Prana, the life air. Sharira, and the gross body. Karma, the functions. Jnana, of transcendental knowledge. Asina, by the sword. Upasanaya, through devotional worship of the spiritual master. Through devotional worship of the spiritual master. Shitena, which has been sharpened. Chitva, cutting off. Munihi, a sober sage. Gam, this earth. Vicharati, wanders. Atrishnaha, free from material desires. Translation. Although the false ego has no factual basis, it is perceived in many forms. Which are these forms? As the functions of the mind, speech, life air, and bodily faculties. But with the sword of transcendental knowledge, sharpened by worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober sage will cut off this false identification and live in this world free from all material attachments. Purport. The word Bahu Rupa Rupitam, perceived in many forms, also indicates that the false ego is manifest in the belief that one is a demigod, a great man, a beautiful lady, an oppressed worker, a tiger, a bird, an insect, and so on. By the influence of false ego, the pure soul accepts some material covering to be his ultimate self. But such ignorance can be removed by the process described in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, we are very grateful to all the devotees. In these uncertain times, where everyone is scared, most are scared, not everyone, but at least when majority of the people are scared, Baldev Shakti Prabhu. 13.8. When majority of the people are scared, there are devotees connected to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness all over the world who are trying to come together and take shelter of the Supreme Lord's instructions in the form of the Gita, in the form of the Bhagavatam, coming through disciplic succession, through the spiritual master, through the senior Vaishnavas. And this, I feel, is the true shelter, the true hope in these uncertain times. So at the beginning of the class, I would request all the devotees here that let us together at least offer one prayer for all the different people in this world who are in their own difficult situations. Some people don't have access to food. Some people don't have access for anybody to talk to. There's a lot of emotional counseling that is also necessary. Somebody was saying, in some cut-off areas, people are also on the brink of contemplating even end their existence. No food, no shelter, nobody to talk to, not much money because some of them are daily wage earners, so there's not much savings in the bank and all that. And it's really a very fearful situation for some people. So all of us, I just request all of you to chant one time the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra together. Let us pray for all the living entities and let the Supreme Lord give us strength to deal with this and not repeat this again. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today's verse for discussion is basically about how the pure spirit soul accepts many identities. Sometimes these identities are also called false identities. We could also call them assumed identities. I am not sure whether it is false or real that focuses, you know, the word false and real focuses on that part. But at least we are focusing on the spirit soul. Even if something is real and he assumes it, and even if something is false and he assumes it, basically for the spirit soul it is all false. So one way to describe this is false ego, and another way to describe this, focusing on the living entity, is assumed ego, assumed identity. What is the need for you to assume? Why are you getting into so many other things? So many times the acharyas will say, there is no need for all this and you are falsely getting into this. You are assuming an identity. One time one person, he met Srila Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, I have heard in your books about the concept of making anybody a Brahman. Can you make me a Brahman? Prabhupada said, yes. His eyes lit up. Saying, what is the process? He's saying, first you have to become a human being. First you become a human being, then I'll make you a Brahman. So Prabhupada, on one side, is offering so much hope to all of us. Such high treasures of the spiritual world are all waiting for us. But Prabhupada also does not ever compromise on the reality of our lives right now. So those who are practicing their life based on animalistic activities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending in a very horrible way, for such people to talk about becoming a Brahman and all is ridiculous. So yes, the potential is there, but also the process is there. The process is purification of our current existence, trying to understand where we are going wrong. The word that was used in this shloka and highlighted in the purport is Bahu Rupa Rupitam. And all these Rupa are actually false. Have you ever come across some artists who use their fingers of the hand in such a way that they form a shadow on the wall and those shadows transform from one animal to another animal? Sometimes he'll make a rabbit, then he'll change, then it's a deer, then sometimes it's a camel, and sometimes it's an elephant. So which of those Bahu Rupa Rupitam is real? Is the rabbit real? Is the camel real? Is the elephant real? None of it is real. It's a shadow work. So that is what the shloka is saying. Bahu Rupa Rupitam. Sometimes small kids go to some mela, some kind of a attraction. And inadvertently in India, there is always this house of mirrors. It's a huge room which has just unlimited mirrors. Some of those mirrors are concave mirrors. Some of those mirrors are convex mirrors. Some of those mirrors increase your height. Some of those mirrors make you fat. Some of those mirrors make you funny. Your legs become tall like a camel and your upper part of the body becomes compressed like, you know, the lower part of a giraffe or something. Looks strange, right? And the kids, they actually love it. They stand in front of all those mirrors. See, mom, my face is big. See, mom, my legs are long. See, mom, my hands are strong. Whatever. So which of those reflections that are visible in those house of mirrors is real? None of them are real. Bahu rupa rupitam. So where is the reality? If you say, maybe in the mirror number 1, or maybe in mirror number 13, or mirror number 27 looks much better. No, my dear friends, in some mirrors you might appear ugly. In some mirrors you might appear very attractive. Some mirrors you would appear to have huge biceps and triceps. None of it is true. It's all false. One point of time there was black and white television, then came color television, sometimes there is plasma television, sometimes there is LED television, and people seem to have all these different varieties of television. Which of those televisions is showing the reality? It's all electronic circuits showing you some flashy images. So if you say LED television is better than black and white television, what you are saying is the presentation of illusion that is shown on a plasma television is much better than the presentation of illusion that is shown on a black and white television. It's all false. And that's why we have to understand that even if it is bahurupa rupitam, we should never get entangled in appreciating where the illusion is less or where the illusion is more. The point is we have to come out of the illusion. This needs to stop. So imagine that there is a huge tree of illusion. Many branches, many fruits, many flowers. It's a huge full-grown tree. And all of us are like experiencing different parts of the tree. Sometimes there are fruits. Sometimes it is mentioned, samsare katu vrikshasya dve phale amrutopame. Says, samsare katu vrikshasya. This samsara is like a katu vriksha. Neem ka ped hai ye. Har jagah pe bahut hi tikha, bahut hi kuch kadwa kuch aayega. Dve phale amrutopame. There are only two good fruits on this katu vriksha. Are, neem ke ped mein do aam ke phal hai. Kaun se hai ye? Subhashitam cha suswadu sangati sajjanair jane. If you meet somebody who speaks encouragingly to you, who always gives you confidence, subhashitam cha suswadu, subhashit hai uske paas. He never speaks harsh words. And he says, sangati sajjanair jane. If you are in contact with some gentleman, there are only two good tasty fruits on this katu vriksha. Upanishad sometimes give this example that the bird, there are two birds on this tree of samsara. One is the Paramatma and one is the Jiva. And the Jiva is tasting different fruits. Sometimes that fruit is very bitter. And then he looks at another fruit and says, hey, the color is different. Maybe this fruit will be better. He goes and bites on that fruit. That is also bitter. Then what to do? Two bitter fruits. Maybe the third fruit is sweet. And sometimes he gets the third fruit sweet. And then he says, ho gaya. My search for sweet fruits has ended. Now I understood how to get sweet fruits. Oh, the fruits on the right side of the tree are sweet fruits. Then he tastes the fourth fruit. It is also bitter. So he is just spending his whole life sometimes trying to taste bitter fruits and getting encouragement, and sometimes tasting sweet fruits and at least feeling for a moment I am at the right place at the right time. But usually in this tree of illusion, there is nothing of use. So if you want to cut a tree, it's a poisonous tree, it's a bitter tree, it's an unwanted tree. And if you are somebody who understands this tree has to be cut, are, is vriksh ne to puri duniya ko ghuma diya hai. This tree is the cause of illusion of everyone. That's why people are getting caught up in mirrors. That's why people are getting caught up in a play of shadows. And if I ask you, you want to cut down this tree, where will you start? How will you bring down the tree of illusion? Can any one of you tell me a few things? From where will you start cutting down the tree of illusion? This is serious. All of us are on the tree of illusion and we want to cut it. We want to go to the reality. Yes, any example, any suggestion? There's no right or wrong. We're just talking about cutting the tree of illusion. Here is one intelligent person who is not looking. He's like Arjun. Now when Arjun was asked, there's that wooden bird on the tree. What are you seeing? Arjun did not see the tree. Arjun did not see the flowers, fruits, the trunk of the tree. He said, I just see the eye of the bird. Everyone else saw a lot of other things. He's saying, to cut the tree of illusion, we should cut the roots of the tree. Not the trunk of the tree. Not the branch of the tree. Why? We have seen so many times. Trees are cut, the roots are still there, again the tree comes. So this is an intelligent answer. Roots.
Now, one interesting thing for you, my dear friend, who's very intelligent, is in this shloka, the first word is a mulam. You know what it means? It's a very interesting word. A mulam means this tree of illusion does not have roots. It's interesting, right? A mulam. Iske mool nahi hai. Tree of illusion does not have a mool. You know why? It's a falsity, na? Illusion hai, na? Can there be a basis of illusion? Something that does not exist, can you say, this something that does not exist, the illusion, stands on reality? Illusion stands on illusion. If I am seeing something that is not existing there, it's not real. And you know what is the illusion? The illusion starts with my spectacles. There's something wrong in my spectacles also. Because if these eyes are real and I can see something, so either my eyes are false or the illusion is real. But there's something in between the spectacles. So there's some design here, you know, some scratches on my spectacles, and that's why I'm seeing an illusion. So the illusion that I'm seeing is based on the illusion that I'm wearing. Till the time I don't take off these illusory spectacles that are blocking my vision from reality, how can I expect to be free from illusion? You got the point? Falsity has to be based on falsity. False ideas are many times based on false conceptions. Real ideas are based on real conceptions. How many of you, at least once in your life, when we are in the temple and sometimes, you know, there's a huge festival, so many people coming and we enjoy it and we serve. Brahmacharis usually get the services on festival days because especially if it happens on a weekday. And sometimes when you're going to the doctor or sometimes you're going for some work, you pass by this marine drive. Yes. And then you see the beach. Open area. And a lot of people there. And you wonder, is there some time of the day when this beach is empty, there's nobody on the beach, and I can actually go to experience some fresh air? Anyone of you thought any time? Okay. I'll ask you one question. Right now, the beach that is there is fully empty. There's no one there. And I can also tell you, I have not gone there, but I can tell you, the sea water right now is much more cleaner and clearer than it was some 15 days back, yes? How many of you would want to go to the beach? One of our friends said, yes, sometimes I get that idea that I need some fresh air and I should go there. Right now, Prabhu, it's all available for you. Nobody. Would you like to go there now? This is called intelligence. So the conception of going there was illusory. There's no need to go there. But it was based on a false conception that there is a lot of good things that are going to happen there. As soon as he understood, right now if I go, I have a thought, I have an idea, and the conception was it is safe to go there, obviously. If it is unsafe to do something, we won't do it. Immediately he analyzed it after my question and he said, no, right, not right now. Right now it is unsafe. Why? Because we'll be breaking government regulations and we don't want to do that. That's what I mean. False ideas are based on false conceptions. False ideas cannot be based on real conceptions, because as soon as the conception is real, the idea will also become real. There will be some reality in it. It means whenever we get some ideas in our heart and they appear to be very lucrative, they appear to be very attractive, they appear to be very beneficial, it could be an illusory idea based on illusory conception. If I do this, this and this, I will be benefited. Check with your superiors. Check with Srimad Bhagavatam. Check with Srila Prabhupada's purports. Check with Guru Maharaj. Check with audio that is available from around the world today for all of us. The beach is right there, right now. The beach is as clean as it should be. The water is as clean as it should be. But it is not safe for any one of us to go there. And that's why we should not go there. So our ideas, our conceptions, our plans, we think, mere liye toh achhe hai na? I know me. You don't know me. Prabhuji, do you know my situation? Do you know what I'm undergoing? Yes. Based on the general description in the scriptures, there is a real part to it. I know my life. But can I tell you, as long as we are not pure devotees, when we say, I know my life, what I know about myself is also limited. and my understanding and my conception of my life and what is good for me, what is beneficial for me is also limited. It is an assumed identity. And that's why it's very important to regularly take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and of the genuine Vaishnavas who guide us based on the scriptures that, yes, Prabhu, I do accept there's something really terrible going on in your life, but please don't hunt for solutions in the illusory tree. Hunt for solutions in true knowledge. So if the roots are not there, a moolam, what will you do? This tree of illusion is very captivating. You need, I'll give you two options. You need the sword of illusion to cut the tree of illusion. Option number one. And option number two is, you need a real sword to cut the tree of illusion. Yes, any? Sorry to keep you woken up by asking you questions. Sometimes I see devotees, easy journey to other planets. But it's very interesting how one illusion cannot be cut by another illusion. Think about this. I am already in a false conception and somebody wants to help me. He offers me another false conception. I am already suffering from one of the bodily diseases and somebody says, you know what, he is really, really frightened about this bodily disease. Let me introduce him to some mental disease so that he comes out of the bodily disease. And he gets too caught up in some mental... No, the point is, when you have a bodily disease, you have to give a medicine to cut that physical disease. When somebody is suffering from a mental disease, don't introduce him to a physical disease. So, kam se kam na, abhi kya shareer ke baare mein soch raha hai, to man mein jo, you know, manokalpit sab chal raha tha, you know, he was just falsely imagining depressing thoughts. At least he came out of those depressing thoughts. And how you brought him out of depressing thoughts? By giving some bodily ache or something. Is that the right way to treat a disease? So whether it's a mental disease or a physical disease, you don't introduce another disease, you don't introduce another illusion to solve that illusion. What is the right way to solve an illusion? To give him reality. So that's why the tree of illusion can never be cut by sword of illusion. The tree of illusion has to be cut with the sword of knowledge. And that's why in this shloka, if you see, there is a word, jnanasena. Asi is a sword and jnana is knowledge. And in this shloka, Shukdev Goswami, Krishna, to Uddhava, narrated by Shukdev Goswami, is telling us the huge big tree of illusion which does not even have roots can be cut only with the sword of real knowledge, the real sword of real knowledge. And this real sword of real knowledge is something that also needs some sharpening. And how is it compared here? It says, Acharya Upasanaya. The sword of knowledge has to be sharpened by worship of the Acharya, by devotional worship of the spiritual master, as mentioned in English here. So, we'll go to... Okay, we have some... Anyways, we'll go to this. This is chapter 4 of the Gita, and this shloka number 25. We'll just quickly go through the translations. Krishna to Arjuna is speaking different kinds of yajñas. We are exposed to two types of yajñas primarily. One is the Agnihotra yajña and another is Sankirtan yajña. But Krishna in the Gita is mentioning some other yajñas. This is shloka number 25. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them and some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. It's 26. The unadulterated brahmacharis sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. The fire of mental control. And others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. A lot of yajñas are mentioned here. 27. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Interesting. Shloka number 28. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Shloka number 29. Some other yajñas, the eight different types of yajñas. Still others, who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others, curtailing the eating process, offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. Now, Krishna is summarizing this. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance towards the supreme eternal atmosphere. Shloka number 32. All these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. Now is a very nice shloka, shloka number 33. Please listen attentively. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. Shreyan dravya mayad yagyat jnana yagya parantapa. So, ek dravya yagya hai. Dravya yagya mein you offer dravya. You offer milk, you offer ghee, but they may not be knowledge. It's a ritualistic sacrifice. And Krishna is saying, much better than ritualistic sacrifice, dravya maya yagya is jnana yagya. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is much better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So Krishna is saying, Jnana Yagya is better than Dravya Yagya. And then, you know what is the next shloka? Next shloka is the most famous shloka. Tad Vidhi Pranipatena. So I was reading the commentary on Bhagavad Gita by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And he gives a very nice, interesting connection. Why Tad Vidhi Pranipatena is mentioned there? I never heard this explanation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, Krishna explained Dravyamaya Yagya, and then in 33 he said, much better than Dravyamaya Yagya is when you understand Jnana Yagya, when you do something out of knowledge. So the Brahmacharis, mentioned in one of the shlokas, they offer their ears to the listening process. They said Jnana Yagya. Those who are offering the incoming breath into the outgoing breath and the outgoing breath into the incoming breath, to look at our breathing as a yagya, to look at it that way, to perceive it that way, takes jnana. So Krishna is saying jnana yagya is better than dravya yagya. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, those who feel this jnana yagya concept is very difficult, there Krishna is saying, so now you want to understand what is dravya maya yagya, now you want to understand what is jnana yagya for you, go and approach the spiritual master. The spiritual master will educate you what is the difference between Dravya Yagya and Jnana Yagya, and how to introduce Jnana Yagya in our lives. And that's why we are connecting it to this point here, which is mentioned. The Jnana sword has to be sharpened by worship of the spiritual master. If we have access to unlimited books, does not mean we are knowledgeable. Just like knowledge, one who possesses knowledge is called knowledgeable. Is there some word for somebody who possesses information? Never heard it. But we could say, just by having unlimited books in the library and not having access to some wise person who understands the essence of all these books in the library, it is, I'm inventing a word for the sake of discussion, he is informationable. Just like somebody who has knowledge is knowledgeable. So he just has full of information. But he does not have knowledge, he does not have wisdom. So the emphasis of the spiritual master's contribution to a disciple can never be overemphasized. It's very important for us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun has presented many reasons for not fighting. In the first chapter, 2.7, he surrenders to Krishna after mentioning one more reason in 2.5. Actually, I'm confused. And then Krishna starts speaking in 2.11. And then from 2.15 to 2.30, he speaks about the spirit soul. Good 16 shlokas for the spirit soul. And he's trying to emphasize, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. And then we feel, what was the question? What was the argument? The argument was, should I fight, should I not fight? What was the answer? What was the answer? Should I fight, should I not fight? Yes, no, maybe. The answer is, my dear Arjun, you are a spirit soul. What is the connection between the question and the answer? The connection between this and what Krishna is speaking comes in 2.31 to 2.37. 2.31 to 2.37 is Krishna picking up the first argument that Arjun says, if I fight this war, there is only loss. What is that loss? I may lose my own life. And even if I win, I am going to lose all my relatives with whom I would want to enjoy post-winning. I'm going to win. And after winning, I want to enjoy with my friends, with my family members, with my relatives. But my winning is based on killing those with whom I want to enjoy. This is the argument that Krishna uses, Arjun uses. Roughly 1.31 to 1.35. 1.31 to 1.35 is Arjun posing this argument. And Krishna answers it from 2.31 to 2.37. You know what is the connection? In one of the shlokas, I guess it is 2.35, Krishna uses the argument, even if you die, or even if they die, because this is a dharma yuddha, it offers a wonderful opportunity to go to the heavenly planets where there is enjoyment. You were talking of loss, but I am mentioning to you, by fighting in this war, there is no loss, there is only profit. If you die, you go to the heavenly planets. If you win, you enjoy mahi, you enjoy the earth. And for you posed that argument that with whom will I enjoy? So if you win and they die, they go to the heavenly planets. And what is the basis for believing that somebody goes to the heavenly planets? The basis is you are eternal, you are not a body. So why did Krishna speak you are the spirit soul? To us untrained people, it appears that there is no connection between the question, the argument and Krishna's answer. The whole section about you are the spirit soul is a basis for Krishna to use that knowledge, real knowledge, to spur him into action. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to fight. Utho, utho, kyo? You're spirit soul. You're not a body. You're talking about the destruction of the body, but after the destruction of the body, you, this living entity, is eternal. So if you win, you enjoy the earth. If you lose, you enjoy the heaven. Where is the loss? If you win, if they die, they go to the heaven and they enjoy. Where is the loss? Who is at loss? So Krishna always uses knowledge, not for knowledge's sake. Krishna does not use knowledge for impressing people with the kind of Sanskrit shlokas that he has. Krishna always uses the sword of knowledge to only inspire people into action. He wants all of us to practice dharma. He wants all of us to engage in a seva. He wants all of us to prosper spiritually. And so all that argument that you are spirit soul is not to dissuade Arjun from fighting. Oh, you are not a body. So if I am not a body, why should I fight? Because fighting is on the level of the body. No. Because you are spirit soul, there is no loss. Enjoyment here, enjoyment there. That is your choice. You decide, but you have to fight. So 2.37 is the summation of that section. 2.37 he says, get up and fight. So I was talking about 2.35. In 2.35, he uses the word apavritam. Krishna uses the word apavritam. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he is commenting on this shloka, he says, why Krishna uses the word apavritam? Apavritam means very easily. So Krishna is using the word apavritam for telling Arjun, Arjun, what is the standard way of going to heavenly planets to enjoy? What is the standard way of going to heavenly planets to enjoy? Usually, the standard, if you ask a commoner person, will he give this answer? What is the common man's answer? Do a lot of pious activities. Who said that? Yes. Do a lot of pious activities, do charity. Sometimes when we go to holy places, you know, all the pujaris, they will say, Are daan karo, dharm karo. Tirth kshetra mein aake kanjus mat bano. That's what you, sometimes, you know, the Krishna book, chapter number 23, canto 10, the Brahman Patni's chapter. What is the yagya that the Brahmanas are doing in which they are so absorbed that they cannot cater to the demands of the friends of Krishna? They are performing a Jyotish Toma sacrifice. You read the purports. Jyotish Toma sacrifice is one of the sacrifices that is especially aimed at going to the heavenly planets to enjoy. And the Brahmanas in Vrindavan, on the bank border of Vrindavan, they were so absorbed in doing Jyotish Toma sacrifices to go to the heavenly planets, they missed an opportunity to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the standard way of going to the heavenly planets. Yagya karne se, puja paath karne se, giving charity, this is the standard way. And Krishna is using the word apavritam. You know why? Because he says, the standard way of going to the heavenly planets to enjoy is such a tedious way. To do tapasya is not easy. To do big yagyas is not easy. To do dana is not easy. अर्जुन आई एम गोइंग टू ऑफर यू अ वेरी इजी वे टू गो टू द हेवनली प्लेस. अपावृतम मार्ग बता रहा हूं मैं आपको. जस्ट फाइट इन दिस वॉर विथ फुल हार्टेड फुल विगर. एंड बिकॉज दिस इज धर्म युद्ध, इफ यू विन यू एंजॉय द अर्थ एंड इफ यू लूज अपावृतम वेरी इजिली यू गो टू द हेवनली प्लेस टू एंजॉय. वेर इज द लॉस? सो देर इज नो लॉस, गेट अप एंड फाइट. वॉट ए मास्टर पीस. कृष्ण यूजेस द हुक of enjoyment which Arjun denied in the first chapter, reverse, and he puts it on Arjun. So now you should fight. So knowledge is not for knowledge's sake. Knowledge is always for action's sake. Knowledge, when used for knowledge's sake, rots. There is a stench of pride coming from that person who only has knowledge but is never acting on that knowledge. So today we have this situation where, you know, there are so many public workers, government workers, doctors, medicos. Imagine big doctors, they have all the knowledge of treating the diseases. And out of fear of their own safety, if they say, Prabhuji, gyan to bahut mila MBBS mein. Prabhuji, MD mein, MS mein, DM mein, bahut sara gyan mila. Lekin kya hai na? I don't feel like saving the lives of people. How would the situation be? We are so fortunate that because we are born in the land of Dharma, Bharat Varsha, this understanding is always there. Knowledge is not for knowledge's sake. Knowledge is for action's sake. And that's why we get so many reports. Our own Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So many people who stay near Mira Road, they are working hard. There is a group of people who stay in Palghar. Every day at 7 o'clock, they leave from Palghar in a vehicle. Some 10 or 12 of them. And in today's times, when most of the cities in lockdown, Bhaktivedanta Hospital devotees and doctors travel from Palghar all the way to Mira Road. And in the evening, they reach their home at around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, something like that. They're working extra hard. You know why? This is the time of putting all the knowledge that we learned, all the compassion, classes on compassion and all that, into work and actually reaching out to people who are in need. So Vaishnava is Swadukha Dukhi. Right? Yeah, many times we have heard Vaishnava is para dukkha dukhi. Usko khud ko dukh nahi hai. Kya problem hai? Guru Maharaj hai, Prabhupada ji hai, Radha Gopinath is always there, Gaurinath are always dancing, inviting us to dance. What is our dukkha? Our dukkha is we are not doing enough to help others. So I'm really grateful to all the doctors, all the community and all the people who are helping, many times at the risk of their own lives. But they are true followers of Arjun and we should really honor them for this. I'm going to take one section for discussion's sake from 7th canto, chapter number 8, shloka number 40 to shloka number 56. And this is the time in the Bhagavatam when Lord Narasimha Dev has ripped open Hiranyakashipu. And he's in a very angry mood. And now they are just trying to pacify the Supreme Lord. So they want to offer prayers. Who all is there? All the residents of the entire universe are there. There is nobody who is not there. You know why? It's a moment for universal celebration. The universal terrorist is killed. It's not the local terrorist is killed. So who will not want to miss this opportunity? Everyone is there. So I want to read all this with a specific purpose. I'll read a 3 or 4 prayers and then I'm going to come to the main point. Please listen to this attentively. This 7.8.40. Lord Brahma is offering prayers to Lord Narasimha Dev. My Lord, you are unlimited and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it and again annihilate it. Yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And I'm going to read a prayer by Lord Shiva. Please listen to it. It's a very interesting point. Lord Shiva said, now what is the point of Lord Shiva? The end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotees, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. What did Brahma focus on? He was talking about creation. What is Lord Shiva focusing on? Destruction. Very good. You got the point. King Indra, 3rd shloka. Listen to this attentively. O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. You killed him. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dispelled, dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not care even for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha and dharma. What is Indra focusing on? Shares of sacrifices and also kama, artha and dharma. Yes? Now I am going to read one more shloka and then we will have a discussion. All the saintly persons offered their prayers in this way. O Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O original personality of Godhead, listen to this. The process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon. But now by yourself appearing in the form of Narasimha Dev, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity. What is the point that the saintly persons are focusing on? Austerity, penance. Why am I choosing this section and why am I speaking this first shloka? Is there something to be learned from this? Brahmaji was focusing on creation. Lord Shiva was focusing on destruction. Indra was focusing on shares of sacrifices. The saintly people are focusing on penance and austerity. What is the point that I'm driving at? Somewhere, all of them have a strong sense of who they are. Yes, apne apne drishti se dekh rahe hain. All of them have their own spectacles. And when they are praying to Lord Narasimha, that thing which is very prominent in their heart is coming out in the form of prayers. And none of those prayers are non-bona fide. Obviously. All of these prayers are very nice prayers, yes? The point that I am mentioning is, everyone is offering prayers as per his perspective. Did you get this point? So I am going to quickly read the other prayers. And it's very amusing. It's very interesting. It's very fascinating to read this in the Bhagavatam. How whatever we pray to the Lord is based on our conceptions of who we are and what is good for us. And the last prayer is going to shatter this discussion with a very interesting perspective. Are you ready for it? I hope I'm trying to keep this, you know, in this whole atmosphere where everyone is scared and thinking, Prabhuji, kya hone wala hai? Trying to keep this interesting. This subject matter is very interesting. Okay. You keep counting. Fifth prayer. The inhabitants of Pitriloka prayed. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimha Dev, the maintainer of the religious principles of the universe. He has killed Hiranyakashipu. Now, here. The demon who by force enjoyed all the offerings of the Shraddha ceremonies performed by our sons and grandsons on the anniversaries of our death, and who drank the water with sesame seeds offered in holy places of pilgrimage. By killing this demon, O Lord, you have taken back all this stolen property from his abdomen by piercing it with your nails. We therefore wish to offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Pitrulok. What did they focus on? Very nice. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed. O Lord Narasimha Dev, because we belong to Siddha Loka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because his rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. What did they focus on? Mystic Siddhis. The inhabitants of Vidyadhar Loka prayed. Our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride in his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. Now the supreme personality of Godhead has killed him just as if the demon was an animal. And to that supreme pastime form of Lord Narasimha Dev, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances. What did they focus on? They can appear and disappear at their will. Would you like me to go through the other shlokas or should we stop here? Yes. Okay. The inhabitants of Naga Loka said, hear this attentively. The most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now, since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus we together offer our respectful obeisances unto you. What are Naga Loka focusing on? It's very nice, is it not? See how, you know, all the devotees are offering their prayers. So when we see different devotees amongst our God brothers and God sisters offering different prayers, sometimes we have this unspoken, unconscious expectation. Why is this person praying like this? Why not? Offering genuinely his or her heart to Krishna is the essence of prayers, right? If I offer the prayer that is offered by Bhishma Dev in the Bhagavatam, it is false. I can learn from him. I can follow in his footsteps. But I cannot repeat his prayers as it is. That is illusion, right? So we are talking about reality. Okay. All the Manus offered their prayers. What do you expect in Manus' prayers? Okay. As your order carriers, O Lord, we the Manus are the law givers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now? The Prajapatis, what will the Prajapatis pray for? Okay, good. The Prajapatis offered their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahma and Shiva, we, the Prajapatis, were created by you to execute your orders, but were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka prayed. What will they pray for? Okay, good. Your Lordship, we never engage in your service. We ever engage in your service by dancing and singing in dramatic performances. But this Hiranyakashipu, by the influence of his bodily strength and valor, brought us under his subjugation. Now he has been brought to his this low condition by your Lordship. What benefit can result from the activity of such an upstart as Hiranyakashipu? The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who was always a stake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved. And we are eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which award the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. Would you like to hear further? The inhabitants of Yaksha Loka prayed. What will Yaksha Loka pray for? I guess somebody there is saying no. That's why somebody is laughing. Anyways, what will the Yaksha Loka say? Wealth, okay. Let's see what they say. O controller of the 24 elements. Addressing Lord Narasimha Deva's control of the 24 elements. We are considering the, O controller of the 24 elements, we are considering the best servants of your Lordship because of rendering services pleasing to you. Yet, we engaged as palanquin carriers by the order of Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti. O Lord, in the form of Narasimha Deva, listen to this. You know how this demon gave trouble to everyone. But now you have killed him. And his body is mixing with the five material elements. Bhumi, Rapo, Analo, Vayu, Kham. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka said, we are insignificant living entities and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you? When this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka. Dear Lord, because of chanting your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, we were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon exactly as one cures a chronic disease. Two more shlokas. Are humko kaha kaha maan samman milta tha, jab se ye aaya to humko maan samman milna bhul band ho gaya. Now we will get it back. The Kinnaras said, second last shloka, O Supreme Controller, we are ever existing servants of your Lordship. But instead of rendering service to you, we were engaged by this demon in his service constantly. And listen to this. And without remuneration. So mention. Without remuneration, kabhi kuch diya nahi, sabha mein liya. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Narasimha Deva, our master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron. Now you want to hear the last shloka? This is the game changer. Now you know who's going to pray? The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha offered their prayer. They are also there. O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Narasimha Dev, meant for the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jaya who engaged in your service but was cursed by Brahmanas and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. What is the essence of this shloka? Can you capture this in one or two words? The last shloka? Yes, yes, yes. Just a minute. Yes. Merciful nature of the Lord. Yes. My associate was Jayan Vijay. And he was cursed. And he had to leave the spiritual world. My dear Lord Narasimha Dev, all this killing and all, I don't see any blood. I don't see any misfortune. I can only once say one thing. My eternal friend, Jayan Vijay. Jay here. In the spiritual world, they had to leave the spiritual world. By this killing, he'll come back to the spiritual world. And I'll get association of a Vaishnava there. Is there some difference between all the prayers that were there before and this one prayer? Yes? So Prabhu is saying, the earlier prayers were based on the situation in which those devotees were there. If they were in the process of creation, then they said, actually you are the original creator. If somebody was engaged in the process of destruction, then they said, actually you are the destroyer, and so on. And for the first time in a series of 16 or 17 shlokas, 17 shlokas, 40 to 56, first time we are coming across a prayer where it is not in connection to me, it is in connection with him. Jayana. He will get back his original position in the Vaikuntha planets, and you are always our caretaker. We are so happy that you have cared for us and you have cared for it. For the first time, it has nothing to do with my position. For the first time, it has to do with the Supreme Lord's position and also the position of somebody else, one of their friends, one of their associates. So why did we discuss this? We discussed this for helping us understand how one aspect of being genuine in the material world is you have to have some kind of transparency in your prayers, and you have to actually offer not your lips. You have to offer your heart to Krishna. So, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kinnaras, the Siddha Purushas, all of them are genuinely offering their concerns and their prayers to Krishna. But the highest, purest platform is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. What is that? That they are just happy that they will get the association of one of their associates, Jaya, back in the spiritual world. So this is what I mean by when you have the correct perspective, when you have the right spectacles, then your prayers also change. Your conceptions have changed, so your idea of what is good for you also changes. This is the point. So we were talking about assumed identity, false identity and true identity. And in this series of prayers we saw, first there was a lot to do with assumed identities and the last one was real identity. If somebody is staying in a home, and that building, that structure has been there for more than 100-150 years. Mostly, you know, there's a warning sign on that structure saying, this structure is unsafe for staying. What does this person do when he is staying in a home which is unsafe for staying? What will this person do? The first step, what will he do? He will have to search for another place. Think about it. He'll start creating a new home and he will shift to the new home when the new home is ready. Only when he shifts to the new home will he come out of the old home. So yes, the home that I'm staying in is a very dilapidated structure. Bahut purana ho gaya, sab to paint wagera gir raha hai. But you can't just move out on the streets. You know this can go down any time, but if you go out on the streets, how will you stay? So somebody who's tired of the existing structure will never move out. He will first create a new structure, shift there, and when he shifts there, you know, he's basically moved out or he will destroy the old structure for safety purpose. Is it not? Similarly, my dear friends, many of us, when we talk about humility, when we talk about namrata, When we talk about all these exalted qualities, many times, unknowingly, we feel humility is about self-deprecation. You think low of oneself. कुछ सेवा करेंगे प्रभु जी मैंने आज तक कभी कुछ किया नहीं कुछ जब करेंगे प्रभु जी आज तक मैंने जिंदगी में कभी जप नहीं थोड़ा भागवत पढ़ेंगे प्रभु जी आज तक मैंने कोई रिलीजियस स्क्रिप्चर पढ़ा नहीं आज तक पढ़ा नहीं इसलिए दे रहे हैं कि अभी पढ़िए बिकॉज यू डिड नॉट एवर चैंट द होली नेम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड दैट्स व्हाई आई एम फॉलिंग एट योर फीट एंड प्लीज चैंट हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे सो बिकॉज वी कीप टॉकिंग अबाउट द फॉल्स ईगो मेनी टाइम्स It's also important to talk of the real ego. So according to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, what he's saying is, spiritual advancement is not about destroying our false ego. Would you like to disagree with me? You can't, because I'm quoting Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Spiritual advancement is not about destroying the false ego. Spiritual advancement is about creating the real ego. If we have an ego right now and we have nothing to do with Krishna, my ego is my identity, my ego is my conception. This is how I am. And we discussed so many shlokas from the Bhagavatam related to the identity. And when we hear in a class somebody banging us saying, you have false ego, leave that false ego, crush that false ego. Basically, I'm taking this in an analogous way. I'm staying in a home. It's not the best home in town. The paint is coming off, there are cracks in the beams and the structure and all that, but still this is a place where I have some shelter from the sun and the rain and the wind and the winter season. Bura hi sahi, lekin ghar to hai. Sabse achcha nahi, lekin ashray to hai. And when somebody asks us to destroy that ego, basically we are telling that person, this structure is not the best structure. And he says, yes, I also feel this structure is not the best structure. He says, move out. He said, where to? I don't know that. I won't give you the new conception. I won't tell you about how to become a devotee of Krishna. I am just telling you, you know what? You think you are this? It's false. You know you think you are this? This is false. If you see Vaishnava Acharyas, if you see Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada will always tell you, you are not this body. And the next word is, your spirit soul. केवल डांटने से फटकारने से आप झूठे हैं आप गलत है बोलने से काम नहीं बनता है दूसरी यू हैव टू प्रेजेंट द अदर साइड हु यू आर सो भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर इज सेइंग स्पिरिचुअल एडवांसमेंट इज नॉट अबाउट डिस्ट्रॉइंग द फॉल्स ईगो स्पिरिचुअल एडवांसमेंट इज 50% डिस्ट्रॉइंग द फॉल्स ईगो बट द मोर इंपॉर्टेंट 50% इज रिसरेक्टिंग क्रिएटिंग द रियल ईगो यस आई एम नॉट दिस आई एम नॉट दैट But if you just keep focusing on I am not this and I am not that, we are basically trying to destroy the existing conception of that devotee and we have to tell him, my dear Prabhu, you know who you are. You have a deep relationship with Krishna. You are a child of Krishna. You are the son of Krishna. You are the daughter of Krishna. Don't you cry. Don't you feel unsheltered. It's just a question of recognizing the hand of Krishna, the bluish hand of Krishna that is always there above you. We have to become Krishna conscious. The hand is there, the shelter is there, the protection is there. We are not conscious of it. That's why this is the society for Krishna consciousness. This is not a process for Krishna vision. We cannot see Krishna. He's there. We have to become conscious of him. So we were discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with some devotees yesterday. And we were reading from Madhya Leela, first chapter. And this is shloka number 28 from first chapter. And this is describing how Lord Nityananda, what was his conception in relationship to Lord Chaitanya? Who is Lord Nityananda? Swarupa is Lord Balaram. So this shloka mentions, I am reading from CC Madhya 1.28. Yadyapi apani hai Prabhu Balaram, tathapi Chaitanya kare dasa abhiman. So I am focusing on the word dasa abhiman. When we usually, normally, in a very simple way talk about das, can das have abhiman? Das matlab? मैं तो कुछ नहीं हूं मैं तो गया गुजरा हूं मैं तो कुछ नहीं कर सकता दास मीन्स सेट डाउन गो इन टू द ग्राउंड यू डोंट हैव एनी आइडेंटिटी यू नो व्हाट इज मेंशन हियर लॉर्ड नित्यानंद हैड दास अभिमान अभिमान है उनको क्या अभिमान है दास अभिमान आई एम नॉट ए सर्वेंट ऑफ एन ऑर्डिनरी पर्सन आई एम सर्वेंट ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट पर्सन एंड देन आई चेक्ड इन अदर पार्ट्स वेयर ऑल कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी यूजेस द वर्ड दास अभिमान when I first read it, it appeared to be contradictory. How can Das have Abhiman? Or jo Abhiman hai, wo Dasatva kaise kar sakta hai? Jisko Abhiman hai, wo Seva kaise kar sakta hai? Yes, this is the most interesting point about spiritual life. Spiritual concepts harmonize all contradictions that we are carrying because of wrong spectacles. So, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela 6.42. This describes the conception, the spectacles of Advaita Acharya. These are not his spectacles, this is real vision. Sorry. Advaita Acharya. Chaitanya Gosai ke Acharya kare Prabhu Gyan Apana ke kare na tara Dasa Abhiman. Lord Balram, Lord Nityanand has Dasa Abhiman. Advaita Acharya, Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva combined, he has Dasa Abhiman. I was getting interesting. Then I checked, does Lord Chaitanya himself, who is always advising others to be servant, does he also have Dasa Abhiman? This is Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, chapter number 25, shloka number 81. This is Prakashanand Saraswati, after being transformed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prakashanand Saraswati speaks, Prakashananda kahe tumhi sakshat bhagavan, tabu yadi karatara dasa abhiman. Prakashananda Saraswati, aap halaki swayam bhagavan hai, lekin aap mein bhi das abhiman hai. So Lord Chaitanya has das abhiman. Lord Nityanand has dasa abhiman. Advaita Acharya has dasa abhiman. Do you want to hear another place where dasa abhiman concept is used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? This is Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, chapter number 24, shloka number 201. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatan Goswami, Jivera Swabhava Krishna Dasa Abhiman Dehe Atma Gyane Achhadita Sehi Gyan. Dehe Atma Gyan. Ye jo deh hai, yehi mera atma hai, is gyan se, wo jo gyan hai, wo achhadit ho gaya. It's covered. So Lord Chaitanya has Das Abhiman, Lord Nityananda has Das Abhiman, Advaita Acharya has Das Abhiman, and Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatan Goswami, the Jiva also has Das Abhiman. Originally all of us had Das Abhiman, but Das Abhiman got covered with Dehatma Gyan. And that's why we lost the pure ego. We lost the concept of pure ego, real ego. So when somebody is a struggling sadhaka, please do not bang him by saying that you are nothing. Tell him, you are staying in this unsafe building, please create another building. What is that building? Real ego. What is that real ego? You are a servant of Krishna. Give him positive knowledge about Krishna and Krishna's concern for that devotee. So he is staying in his wrong ego building. I am this, I am that. But meanwhile he is constructing the real ego. And when this new, beautiful, eternal real ego is built, then you shift him from the false ego to the real ego. And when he shifts from the false ego to the real ego, from the window of the real ego, he will look at his building and he will say, what a dirty place to live in. I don't want to live in this place. And then he himself will destroy the false ego. So this is a concept between false ego and real ego. I was reading about the life of His Holiness Satsurup Das Goswami Maharaj. And there's a very nice incident that he mentions. Actually, His Holiness Satsurup Das Goswami Maharaj, in his teen age, he was an avid writer. He mentions that how he could have spent days together writing. Morning to evening he's just writing. He wants to express his heart. And even before meeting Srila Prabhupada, he had already compiled one novel of himself. Novel likh diya unhone. Before he met Prabhupada. He met Prabhupada at age 25 or 26. One of the earliest devotees who met Prabhupada. And when he came to Prabhupada, he heard lot of emphasis on how we are not this body. And at one point of time, you know what he did? He took all his writings. And in his New York building where he was staying, because there is heating there, just like we have air conditioning here, there is an incinerator. A place where everything is burnt in those days, so that the heating goes to the whole building. He put all his writings in the incinerator. You know why? Because he thought, I have been writing till now based on the false ego. I have been writing till now on mundane subject matter, putting me in the picture. So this false ego, and Swamiji has been saying that false ego is not good. So he burnt all his writings in the incinerator. And then, some days later, he mentions, Srila Prabhupada started the Back to Godhead magazine. He paused it when he was in India. And now he has restarted it when he is in New York. And then Prabhupada was looking for somebody to contribute to this magazine. And Sasuru Maharaj mentions, I did not speak a single word. You know why? He said, I am a false ego writer. I am not pure. And because I am not pure, I should not write. So it's almost like a vow that he had taken. I am not going to write. I am a false ego writer. So Prabhupada was looking at some disciples within what was available. There was Hayagriva Prabhu. Hayagriva Prabhu was an English professor in Ohio State University. So he was a fit person for that. And there was another devotee called Raya Rama. Raya Ram was a writer for some comics in New York. So these two had some writing experience. So Prabhupada was requested by both of them that we would be the editor for your magazine. So what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada made them co-editors. No fighting. So Hayagriva Prabhu and Raya Ram Prabhu are the co-editors for BTG magazine. And one day, as a godbrother, as a friend, Satsuru Maharaj, he's not Satsuru Maharaj that time, Steve. So he goes to Hayagriva Prabhu and he says, you know what, at one point of time I used to write and I have some exposure to writing. So somebody who's written a novel is being very humble. And I have decided that I'm not going to write. So Hayagriva Prabhu just laughed it off. So somewhere, you know, he's fighting with his identity. He likes to serve Krishna in the form of writing. But Hayagriva Prabhu laughed it off. So what to do? Should you keep quiet? But he heard that, no, we should express our heart to Krishna. Prabhupada would also speak that. So one day he went to Raya Ram Prabhu and he told, you know what? Actually, I have a lot of exposure to writing. I have written a lot, but I burnt it all. What do you feel about this? Raya Ram Prabhu said, this is not the right way. He said, you should write for Krishna. And that time, Satsurup Maharaj mentions, he wrote the first article in the Back to Godhead magazine, which was titled, Experience of Karma Yoga. This is the first article that was contributed by Satsurup Maharaj. And then it hit him, spiritual life is not about not being who you are, but about purifying who you are. Spiritual advancement is not about destroying the false ego, it's about creating the real ego and moving from false ego to real ego. And then he began writing. And what a writer His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj became. He contributed so many articles, he's still contributing so many books. One of the most prolific writers in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, somebody who writes from his heart, is His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj. I can also tell you, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada disappeared from this world in November 77. And January 1978 was the first edition of Back to Godhead magazine without the founder Acharya present. Till now, Prabhupada would tell what articles and all that. First magazine without the presence of Srila Prabhupada. You know who's the editor for that magazine? That whole magazine is about the contribution of Srila Prabhupada and how to survive when the Acharya has left this world. It's a very heart-touching edition of the Back to Godhead magazine, January-February 1978, immediately after disappearance of His Divine Grace. You know who's the editor for that magazine? Would you like to know? His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj. Somebody who had burnt his writings, somebody who had decided not to write because he's a false ego writer, contributed so much, found his space within Krishna consciousness, he became the editor of the magazine that Prabhupada started, and he continued to be the chief editor, the contributing person, till 1989. 12 years, Satsuru Maharaj was the editor-in-chief. Everyone wanted to also know the life of Srila Prabhupada from his early days. Because people in the West, and all of us also, primarily we would know the life of Srila Prabhupada post he started his preaching. But all of them wanted to know. So there was a need to compile an authorized biography also. So who was the person chosen to write the official biography of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit was written by His Holiness Satsurup Das Goswami Maharaj. So, here was one person who got only half the idea of spiritual advancement, destroyed his writing. And now here we have His Holiness Satsurup Maharaj, who's written so many books on japa, so many books on reflections on scriptures. He's given to us. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was instructed by Lord Nityanand to give the authorized biography of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, other than Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Satsurup Maharaj has given us Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. Can you imagine if Raya Ram Prabhu at that time had told him, बराबर है, फॉल्स ईगो है तुम में, तुम मत लिखना, आप मत लिखना, क्योंकि आप फॉल्स ईगो के बारे में लिखते हैं. दैट वन एनकरेजमेंट फ्रॉम रायाराम प्रभु, नो नो प्रभु, यू आर ए राइटर, यू लाइक टू राइट, यू राइट फॉर कृष्णा. यू लाइक टू डांस, यू डांस फॉर कृष्णा. यू लाइक टू सिंग, यू सिंग फॉर कृष्णा. यू लाइक टू मैनेज, यू मैनेज फॉर कृष्णा. यू लाइक टू चैंट, यू चैंट फॉर कृष्णाज प्लेजर, नॉट फॉर योर प्लेजर. दैट स्मॉल एनकरेजमेंट फ्रॉम रायाराम प्रभु, वॉट गिफ्ट इट हैज गिवन टू द इंटरनेशनल सोसाइटी फॉर कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस. हाउ इंपॉर्टेंट इट इज फॉर अस टू टीच पीपल स्पिरिचुअल एडवांसमेंट इज नॉट अबाउट डिस्ट्रॉइंग द फॉल्स ईगो, इट इज अबाउट क्रिएटिंग द रियल ईगो. सो दास अभिमान इज समथिंग विच इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट. इन दिस श्लोक इट वॉज मेंशन्ड दैट वी शुड डू आचार्य उपासना, गुरु उपासना, एंड दैट इज लाइक शार्पनिंग ऑफ द स्वॉर्ड ऑफ नॉलेज. वॉट हैपन्स टू वी अस वेन वी यूज सम नाइफ, सम शार्प टूल, एंड वी डोंट शार्पन इट. देर इज अ स्टोरी ऑफ वन वुड कटर. ही वुड गो टू द फॉरेस्ट टू कट ट्रीज एंड देन सेल द वुड. फर्स्ट डे ही टुक ए फ्रेश एक्स, कुलाड़ी. ही कट 10 ट्रीज. ही अर्न लॉट ऑफ मनी. सेकेंड डे ही वेंट विद दैट सेम कुलाड़ी, दैट एक्स. ही कट ओनली 8 ट्रीज. सेम एनर्जी, सेम टाइम, सेम फॉरेस्ट, सेम वुड. थर्ड डे ही वेंट, ही कट ओनली 5 ट्रीज. फोर्थ डे ही कट ओनली 1 ट्री. ही वॉज इन डिप्रेशन. So, Prabhuji, my body is the same, the forest is the same, everything is the same. How come I am eating the same food? How come from 10 to 1? And what happens to my money? What happens to my livelihood? Fortunately, he had some Vaishnava next to him. And Vaishnavas usually don't allow people to go into depression. Vaishnavas gave them the right perspective to elevate that more. He said, can I ask you something? What is the most important task right now in your life? He said, what do you mean? I have to earn my livelihood. I have to cut wood. He said, from other than that, is there something important? He said, no, earning the livelihood is the best thing. He says, would you like to sharpen your axe? So, but that's a waste of time, right? Adha pauna ghanta lagta hai axe ko sharpen karne ke liye. He said, no, try it out. Have faith. Do something that I'm suggesting. He sharpened his axe for half an hour. What was the score that day? 10. Half an hour of sharp axe sharpening. And he again started cutting 10 trees every day. What is important? Just cutting the trees or sharpening the axe and cutting the trees? Both. So that's why in the shloka it is mentioned, the sword of knowledge cannot be just used as it is because it becomes blunt. Marathi madhe tyala mhantat bothat hote, bothat. Kapadar nahi aata ti parat. It is very important to sharpen the axe regularly. And that's why, tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Why sevaya? That is like sharpening the axe. All the knowledge that we learn, use it. Put it into action. Knowledge should lead to action. And that's when the axe gets sharpened. In one of the shlokas in the 7th canto, Narada Muni is talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he says, my dear Yudhishthir, take the bow of the Omkar. Put the arrow of the living entity on that bow. Interesting analogy. And shoot the target of the Brahman, Supreme Lord. So the target is the Supreme Lord, the bow is the Omkar, and the arrow is the living entity. And he says, shoot it. So he is saying, by chanting of the holy names of the Lord, you can achieve Krishna. So in that purport, that arrow has to be shot, right? And that arrow has to pierce the target. That's called a successful shot. So, if that arrow is not sharpened, will it hit the target? It may not even cut through the air. So, a sharp arrow is not just for piercing the target, it is also for reaching successfully the target because it has to cut through air resistance also. So, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions, in this analogy, the arrow has to be regularly sharpened. So, Omkar hai, holy names hai. उसके ऊपर एरो ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी है, द टारगेट इज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. सो वॉट इज शार्पनिंग ऑफ द एरो? सो इफ यू रीड द परपोर्ट, प्रभुपाद मेंशन, आई थिंक विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर मेंशन, द शार्पनिंग ऑफ द एरो इज द पेनेंस एंड द तपस्या. द तपस्या दैट द लिविंग एंटिटी विल अंडरगो विल एंश्योर दैट द एरो विल एक्चुअली ट्रेवल थ्रू द एयर एंड रीच द टारगेट एंड विल एक्चुअली अचीव द टारगेट. एंड वॉट इज दट पेनेंस एंड तपस्या? The penance and tapasya is following the orders of the spiritual master. If we read books and become huge scholars, but we don't follow the orders of the spiritual master, the arrow is there. The holy name is there. The target is eternal. Everything is there, but it may not touch the target. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I have heard from him in his classes at least 2 or 3 times. One place which I clearly remember is last year's Jagannath Puri Kartik Yatra, the first lecture. If you hear the first 10 minutes, you will hear this. Maharaj spoke there. The essence of tapasya is to follow and do what is favorable and to reject what is unfavorable. And one time in Sunday morning Bhagavatam class, maybe 4 or 5 months back, I heard it here also. The essence of tapasya is anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulyasya varjanam. To repeatedly choose what is favorable and to repeatedly reject what is unfavorable is the tapasya. And according to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, it is the essence of tapasya. So it's very interesting how, why is the spiritual master needed? The spiritual master is needed to sharpen the arrow, to make it fit, to travel the long distance of Bhavasagar and actually hit the target. So, generally, it's very difficult to go through this kind of tapasya, to go through this kind of penance. In the Upanishads, there is a concept of arani wood. Arani is a special kind of wood that is when rubbed together in all the traditional sacrifices, it produces spark and then that is how the yajna is lit. It's called arani. So, there is Uttara Arani and there is Purva Arani. Uttara Arani is on top and Purva Arani is at the bottom. And the Uttara Arani and the Purva Arani, when it is rubbed like this, then there is friction and because of that there is heat created and then there is fire and the yajna is lit. So, many times in the Upanishads, this analogy is given. The Uttara Arani is a spiritual master and the Purva Arani is a disciple. And when there is friction between the spiritual master and the disciple, then there is a fire and then bhakti is produced. So what is that friction? That friction is the tapasya that we have to undergo in following the instructions and the directions of the spiritual master. Now, one thing very interesting is, when the spiritual master comes to speak, he does some purva avalokan. Purva means before and avalokan means seeing. So purva avalokan means, when somebody comes to speak, he thinks about what he wants to present. He thinks about what he wants to speak. So the Uttara Arani does some Purvavalokan. And the Purva Arani has to do some Uttaravalokan. What does it mean? The Purva Arani is a disciple. The disciple, after the class, when he hears from the spiritual master, after the class, he should sit for 5 minutes. And he should meditate on what was spoken by the spiritual master. That is called Uttaravalokan. Avalokan that is done after. So the Uttara Arani does the Purvavalokan and the Purva Arani does the Uttaravalokan. When there is nice Purvavalokan by the Uttara Arani and when there is nice Uttaravalokan by the Purva Arani, then there is friction and then the spark of bhakti is lit and slowly the spiritual master is already burning in bhakti, is already being consumed by bhakti, feelings for Krishna, and the disciple also participates in that fire and he also advances in spiritual life. So, why is the spiritual master required in our life? Spiritual master is required in life to repeatedly understand what is anukul. Depends on our conception. And knowledge will give us that real conception of who we are. And then the spiritual master will tell us, now that you have the real ego, and now you have transferred yourself from this dilapidated building to this new building, now I'll tell you what is anukul for you. See, somebody wants to be a singer, Pani Puri, ice cream, pickle is not anukul for that person. It spoils the throat. For somebody who wants to be a good dancer, any amount of weight gain is anukul for that person. It's totally pratikul. Somebody who wants to be a good cricketer. So the whole thing in cricket is that ball is very important. You know, the ball has to come, it has to hit. The fielder has to catch the ball. Everything is about the ball. It means the cricketer has to have good vision. So somebody who does not have good vision and is failing to have spectacles, he will not be a good cricketer. Somebody who wants to be a good public speaker, for him to be an introvert is pratikul. So what is anukul for somebody and what is pratikul for somebody is based on the position of that person. Anukul for all of us is not the same. Depends on what roles we are playing. So what could be anukul for somebody may be pratikul for somebody. Who will decide for all of us, what is anukul? What is that one common anukul that applies to a manager, pujari, preacher, menial, devotee, and all the other roles that we all are playing in relation to the Supreme Lord as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Because if we allow those people to decide what is anukul and pratikul, it will conflict with somebody else's definition of pratikul and anukul. So the spiritual master always speaks what is anukul for all devotees and all disciples, and he always warns about what is pratikul for all devotees and all disciples. So what is anukul for us and what is pratikul for us, we may think we have a better idea of what is anukul and pratikul, but our anukul and pratikul, if it conflicts with somebody else's anukul and pratikul, then it's going to be fully pratikul. The organization sinks. And that's why again and again we are told we have our own ideas of what is good and bad, but always. Because our ego rules over our intelligence. We should allow the Supreme Spiritual Master's intelligence to rule over our intelligence. Our intelligence is good. We have read many scriptures. We know so many shlokas. Finally, the ego is dominant. So our ego dominates our intelligence. But the Spiritual Master's intelligence is much above our ego. That's where submission comes. If you try to dominate our Spiritual Master's instructions, that means your ego is greater than the Spiritual Master's instructions, his intelligence. So at least, you know, the humble devotee, Pranipatena, he puts his ego below the Supreme Spiritual Master's intelligence. So Spiritual Master's intelligence, my ego and my intelligence. As long as I keep the Spiritual Master out, it is my ego and my intelligence, and my ego will always win, in spite of having so much knowledge, in spite of having so many information and knowledge from the scriptures. That's why Gyan Asi has to be sharpened by worship of the Spiritual Master. Guru Puja in ISKCON is not only on Vyas Puja Day, is not only on Guru Purnima Day. Prabhupada mentions in, I think, Chaitanya Charitamrit, when he is discussing Varanasi, he says, in the Mayavadi Sampradaya, the worship of the Spiritual Master is only on Guru Purnima. Ek din unko mahatva denge. He says, no, we are dependent on the Spiritual Master's guidance and instructions and corrections and prohibitions. So he says, Guru Puja in us, in our line, is an everyday affair. Chakshudan dilo jai, janme janme prabhusi. So that's why, what is anukul and what is pratikul is very important. I'll give you some examples. One time a senior godbrother of mine, he is a grihastha, is well past the age of Vanaprastha. Keep talking about Vanaprastha. So ISKCON is very famous for Brahmacharya Ashram. ISKCON has a lot of grihastha ashram. Sannyasis also, great leaders sacrificing their lives. But whenever we talk about Varnashram, one thing comes up. Brahmacharya Ashram is there in ISKCON. Grihastha Ashram is there in ISKCON. Sannyas Ashram is there in ISKCON. What happened to the Vanaprastha Ashram? Where is the Vanaprastha Ashram in ISKCON? So, very exemplary devotee. And I was talking to him. I just asked him in a very respectable way, my Prabhuji, what is your idea of Vanaprastha Ashram? You know what he told me? He said, I can't afford to. There are so many orders given by the Spiritual Master. There are so many projects given to me by the Spiritual Master. I need to continue earning money so that I can serve the Spiritual Master. Is this Vanaprastha? This is better than Vanaprastha. He is right there, out there in the business world, earning money. The only reason why he is still there in the business world, going through different meetings and going through financial calculations and all that, is because the Spiritual Master has told him these projects need financing. Where will these finances come from? And then, you know, he thought over it. He spoke his heart out. And after 2 minutes, he stopped. And then, you know, in a very humble way, he said, actually, Maharaj also knows my tendency. So he's engaged me in my tendency. He tried to, you know, cover it up. By saying, nahin, meri wo ichha hai paisa kamane ki, to Guru Maharaj ne mujhe bola paisa kamao karke. It just came out. Guru Maharaj has given me so many targets of providing money. How can I say no? So is Vanaprastha, you know, following the Varnashram system, based on your understanding and based on what is recommended, that is better for your spiritual advancement, or curtailing Vanaprastha, continuing with the previous ashram, the Grihastha ashram, but contributing to the Guru's mission with your heart? What is better? So just see how certain devotees, even now, are transcending the situation. This is not for everyone. This cannot be imitated. These great personalities are showing us the way and we have to walk in their footsteps. If you read the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the first chapter is about the activities of King Priyavrat. So there is Lord Brahma, his first son, the first Manu, is Swayambhuva Manu. And Swayambhuva Manu has two sons and three daughters. Two sons, the elder one is Priyavrat and the younger one is Uttanapada. Uttanapada is the father of Dhruva. But Priyavrat from his early days had an inclination for Vairagya. So in his early days, even though he was the eldest son, he was fit to sit on the throne, he took permission from his guru Narada Muni. I have Virakti. I have an inclination for Virakti. Can I follow the path of Virakti? They want me to sit on the throne because I am the elder son. He said, no, you follow your heart. So Priyavrat Maharaj goes to Gandhamadana Parvat to perform tapasya. Now over a period of time, there is Uttanapada Maharaj who sits on the throne. After him, Dhruva Maharaj sits on the throne. Then there are some kings. Then there comes Prachina Barhishad. After Prachina Barhishad, there are his sons, the Prachetas. And the Prachetas are not ready to sit on the throne. And there is no other fit person to sit on the throne. So now there is a universal management crisis. So Lord Brahma is looking, now what to do? Who will rule? Because somebody needs a ruler. The universe needs a ruler. So they go up the lineage and they go to Priyavrata Maharaj. He's still there. He's the king of Swayam. He's the son of Swayambhuva Manu. So then Swayambhuva Manu goes to the Gandhamadan Parvat and Priyavrata Maharaj is doing tapasya. They're not interested in ruling the kingdom. My dear Priyavrata, you are my son. And I know you are inclined for Vairagya. But I have a request for you. Considering the universal management situation, it's very important that you, for the greater good of the universe, give up your Vairagya. And you become the Manu, you become the ruler of the universe. And Priyavrata Maharaj is looking around, Narada Muni comes there. Narada Muni says, don't. Hey, you are such a Vairagi. You are such a rare person. From your youth, you are attracted to Vairagya. You don't give it up. So on one side is biological authority, biological father. Should we disrespect the father? Never. Should you disrespect the guru? Never ever. So here is biological father, here is his spiritual father, spiritual authority and family authority, social authority. One person is saying, become a king for the greater good of the universe. One person is saying, don't. Tumse hoga nahi wo. Aur vairagya bahut rare hai, karna chahiye. How to resolve this conflict? The spiritual master of Narada Muni and the father of Swayambhuva Manu. The common authority of both of them is Lord Brahma, who's also concerned about the universe. He comes on his Vahan Hamsa there. And he says, first words that he speaks when he appears in front of Priyavrata Maharaj, obviously Narada Muni offers obeisances, Swayambhuva Manu offers obeisances, and now they're looking for a solution. When two authorities conflict with each other, then it's better to go to the common authority above them. So Brahmaji is that common authority. And Lord Brahma, when he appears, the first words he speaks is, my dear Priyavrata, please do not be envious of the Supreme Lord. So where is Priyavrata envious of the Supreme Lord? Where did envy come here? Envy, you know why? Because now some instructions are going to come on behalf of the Supreme Lord from Lord Brahma. And those instructions may not be acceptable to Priyavrata. And when you receive instructions from your seniors that are not really acceptable, it's very natural to feel envious of them. So if you read fourth canto, Narada Muni is telling Dhruv Maharaj, Guna dhikam mudam lipset anu krosham guna damad maitrim samana manviche na tapay rabhi bhuyate. Narada Muni tells Dhruv Maharaj, when you meet your seniors, be happy, be pleased that you have such wise seniors. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, usually when we meet our seniors who are more qualified, who are more knowledgeable, we become envious of them. An untrained devotee, an untrained person, when he meets somebody more qualified, somebody more senior, and he has more knowledge, instead of submitting to that knowledge, instead of learning from that knowledge, instead of accepting that knowledge, he usually becomes envious. Prabhupada is writing in the purport. So, Lord Brahma, when he appears to Priyavrata Maharaj, he says, my dear Priyavrata, please do not be envious of the Supreme Lord. I follow his orders. Lord Shiva follows his orders. Narada Muni follows his orders. In fact, the whole universe follows the orders of the Supreme Lord. Just like a bull. You know, there is a rope in the nose of the bull and the bull has to obey. Similarly, every single person obeys the rules of the Supreme Lord. And then he says, I know everything about you. I know everything about Swayambhuva Manu's desire. I know everything about Narada Muni's desire. My advice to you, as a direct representative of the Supreme Lord, I was born from him. I am one of his first disciples. I am representing the Supreme Lord. These are not my words. I am coming in parampara. I want to tell you to give up your vairagya, accept grihastha ashram and become the king of the universe. And when he is saying that, Swayambhu Muni is already happy, right? I was telling you, when did you become a grihastha? Look, now he is saying, Brahma Ji is saying. What happens to Narad Muni? What do you feel? Narad Muni is happy. He's an acharya. So he must have talked about Sharanagati to Priyavrat as his disciple. My dear Priyavrat, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashena sevaya. Now as an acharya, he is not just teaching Sharanagati, he is living that Sharanagati in front of his disciple. So when we are not with our seniors and when we are not with our equals, it is easy to be humble. But when we are with our juniors, when we are with people who respect us and when we meet somebody whom we respect, in the presence of our juniors, will we become humble to our seniors? Because our juniors see us as seniors. The best way to create respect in your juniors is to become juniors in the presence of your seniors. They see, मैं जिनको senior मानता हूँ, वो जब उनके senior के सामने झुकते हैं, इसका मतलब है मुझे मेरे senior के सामने भी झुकना चाहिए. One time, one senior sannyasi was mentioning, in the early days, when the spiritual concepts were not very clear, many Prabhupada disciples who were serving in the movement as initiating spiritual masters, gurus, and who had many disciples, when they would go to some programs or when they would go to some functions where their god brothers would be there, these gurus would not take their disciples with them. Because if they take their disciples with them, their disciples would worship their spiritual master. And in that program, there are the god brothers of that guru. And they don't treat this guru as their guru. They treat the guru as a friend. They treat their guru as a Vaishnav. Yes? So sometimes there is a lot of, you know, friendly interactions between two sannyasis who are initiating spiritual masters. And in their lack of exposure to true maturity, these gurus thought, if our disciples see somebody else treating us as ordinary friends, it will probably hurt the relationship that they have with us. And that's why they would only take their disciples to such programs and such functions where they would be the highest authority and where they would get a lot of respect and prominence. So here, Narad Muni is breaking this conception, and Narad Muni in front of his disciple is obeying in the mood of a real disciple, his Guru Maharaj, which is Brahmaji, even though Brahmaji is cutting his opinion in front of his disciple. So we are focusing on two disciples here. One disciple is Priyavrat Maharaj and another disciple is Narad Muni himself. Why? Because here his Guru is also there, Brahmaji is also there. And as you rightly mentioned, Priyavrat surrenders to that instruction by Lord Brahma. You know why? It's very easy for him to do that because he sees his Guru, his ideal, surrendering his opinion to his guru. And it is mentioned in the shloka translation, Narad Muni also smiled at Lord Brahma without any resentment. Dukh nahi hua unko. Are main jo mere shishya ko kab kitne saalon se bol raha hu. So many years I have been telling my disciple that you should follow the practice of vairagya. And now you came in my presence and you cut down my order. Narad Muni is happy. Narad Muni does not have any resentment. And in this way, it was very easy for Priyavrat Maharaj to also accept the principle of paying respect and obeying the order of spiritual master. And I have received a chit that we are requested to end this class. So I am also going to be more obedient to receiving orders from my seniors, and I'm going to end this class. I'm really grateful for all of you for giving me a chance to speak on the Bhagavatam, and I was trying to think that in today's times when, you know, the whole situation is about illusory conceptions and illusory fear and people are scared what is going to happen. So if we can take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's purports, and if we can take shelter of the holy name, we all come together, we chant, we dance in our own social distancing way. This is not to break government regulations. We can actually keep ourselves safe and we can keep other devotees safe. If I have extended my class, I'm really sorry for it. I thought Sunday Bhagavatam class is a little longer, but I'm really sorry for transgressing this etiquette. Thank you so much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.